go. She wears a cross like a tattoo. She needs identity just like you. Life has treated her just as hard. Plain house in her own backyard.
It's 3 p.m. in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org. Please stay tuned for a report to the listener.
And good afternoon. This is WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York, listener-sponsored, listener-supported, and listener-empowered radio here in our beloved city. My name is Valerie Venice, the general manager of WBAI, and I will be joined today by Bernard White, the program director, Leslie Kagan, the chair of the Interim Pacifica National Board, Dan Coughlin, who is the executive director. Hopefully we'll be here mid-program or toward the end. Matthew Finch is in the studio, as well as Michael Haskins, our chief announcer. We welcome you to this March report. We had one in February, and we are committed to doing a monthly report to our wonderful communities out there in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, Rockland County, you name it. You have come to our aid. You have come to our support, and you have are helping to save this radio station as we move through an extremely difficult period. We have just come back about a week ago from a national board meeting, and I delivered a report there, and I'd like to just go over some of the highlights of that. When Leslie Kagan comes in, she will update you on that board meeting, as well as a recent development as of yesterday around one of our board members, Teresa Allen in Houston, Texas. We will look at some of the programming that we have been doing and some of the thoughts that we have about it in this transition period. And we will also be taking calls from our listener sponsors during the course of this broadcast. So as we move into this report to the listener, I have to say, as it is well known to everybody here, that this is really an historic time for the Foundation, and all of us are called upon to renew our commitment to the mission and the vision of Lou Hill. We are taking on a tremendously daunting challenge of rebuilding our network, our stations, and the whole progressive community, because during the past 13 months, a lot of very, very damaging actions took place. Listeners were lost by the thousands. Our figures estimate probably about 4,000. Our numbers plummeted by over 40%. The debt that was there has now risen to about $5 million for all of the stations and units as a whole. And not only was our city in ruins, but so was our dear station here at WBAI. You know the Bruce Springsteen song, "Rise Up, Come On, Rise Up." Well, we plan to do exactly that and turn this year of challenges into hopefully a time of unparalleled opportunities. When we returned here, and it's been about 7 weeks now, we found the station and the network in a profound crisis. With no money, and WBAI particularly, with about $400,000 in back bills, which remained unpaid, creditors unable and unwilling to give any credit, and just a sense of chaos everywhere. They threatened to cut off the power at our transmitter. They threatened to cut off our telephones. They threatened to stop our wire services. But in a crunch and in a crisis, WBAI will always prevail. And we were able to at least get through the first few weeks, staving them off and building up our own base. At the national level, there were no approved budgets by the national board at any of the stations. There were no documents at most of the stations. There was no Pacifica budget for any of the units. And there had been no financial reports whatsoever in the past year, all of the year 2000, not one. No documentation, no indication of where we were going, how we get there, or where any shortfalls were. To say the least, the magnitude of this difficulty was apparent, and it was a recipe for disaster. When that independent audit was released, the $5 million debt was revealed, and of course, this is the most serious financial crisis Pacifica has ever been in. That's more than 50% of our budget. We did what Lou Hill advised many years ago, that in a crisis, there's only one creative possibility, and that's to take a risk, to grow, and to expand. We opened up our doors to the community, to let the community back into community radio, and we opened up our airways so that their voices could be heard. We started this from day one with a special on Martin Luther King, and that was indeed a very, very good and powerful indication of the goodwill, the support, and the tremendous generosity of our listenership and our membership. Within 2 weeks, we had organized a winter campaign, and we marked the benchmarks from the $100,000 mark to the $500,000 mark to the $900,000 mark. We finished the February membership drive with $1,001,996 registered in our membership system, a tremendous victory. And the responsibility and the call and the credit for that victory goes to the thousands and thousands of listeners who came back home, to the major donors who came back home, to the tremendous work of the producers, the staff, the programmers who pitched in, did more than that 1 mile and 10 miles to bring WBAI back into the good. And we are on a very positive path now. But despite that great success, this fiscal crisis for us and for the Foundation is a reality that's going to permeate everything this year and for years to come. We require and need accurate and financial and timely reports from the national office to find out what the deficit really was from the past year for this unit in particular and what our current situation is. And there are two options facing us and probably more. One is to take every opportunity to raise more money and funding. And the second is that we have to monitor and cut back and be very, very careful with our resources as the stewardship, as the trust that they always have been. We are committed to responsible and accountable actions on every front and fiscal transparency in our reporting. Some of the other matters that we faced here had to do with staffing and our mission of inclusion. In past years, we made a commitment to affirmative action and equal opportunity and acted on it. And we won national recognition for the wonderful diversity, which included a rainbow staff of African Americans, Latinos, Asians, Native Americans, and women, among others. I urge everybody here at WBAI and throughout the Pacifica Foundation to keep that affirmative commitment and do not let the rainbow die. This is at the heart of Pacifica's mission of inclusion and should never be jeopardized again by forces within or without the foundation whose actions are contrary to that inclusive vision. Pursuant to the National Board Directive, many of the fired, banned, and exiled staff are returned in mid-January, and we have had the assistance of a conflict resolution specialist, Janet McEnany, who is also a mediator and has been working with us from almost day one and provided very valuable and effective services to our staff and station throughout that time. Some of the other things that have been accomplished here and are in the works are other staffing matters that we have continued to work on. There are certain mission-critical positions here. We cannot operate without them, and we are trying to fill them in order to carry out the station's responsibilities. We have opened up talks with the union for a new contract and have had several meetings, and we'll continue with that, and we actually hope to conclude that sometime in April. On the programming front, which is what we are about, one of the great highlights of this period from our day of return has been the roster of extraordinary journalists and producers who came back to our air for the first time in many months and some for over a year. Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman came back after 6 months of cold silence and exile by the previous administration. Wake Up Call returned with Bernard White, Errol Maitland, and Sharan Harper. So did Radio Unnameable with the legendary Bob Fast, Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, Any Saturday with David Rothenberg, Health Action with Bob Letter and Kathy Davis, Earth Watch with Robert Knight, Hard Work with Mike Fader, Al Lewis Live with Al Lewis and Karen, his incredible wife. And this reads like a who's who because it is a who's who. We welcome them back to our airways from the very first week. Another part of the programming that we have done here is the historic five-station broadcast in February, which raised over $200,000 for our sister station, KPFK, in Los Angeles. This singular effort was important because it showed the solidarity of our stations for each other and to each other, and is a model now for further refinement, tuning, and adjustment to help us raise funds in key strategic areas for the rest of the year. We have equipment needs that you hear on the air, a lot of neglect and non-repair, and also very much part of the impact of September 11th is still with us here. And we need at least $20,000 to replace that equipment. We need about another $20,000 to help us finish off our performance space. All of these are achievable goals, and we will go after them in the next few weeks and few months. Part of that is also some special projects in trying to get some 9/11 recovery funds because we were deeply affected here. And that proposals and projects and foundation approach is continuing. On the local advisory board and community organizations level, the kind of support which has been magnificent from the local advisory board and from meetings and the media, the membership outreach campaign, from labor groups and youth and ethnic organizations, service, and many other agencies in collaboration with the staff here at WBAI has resulted in a full groundswell of not just more meetings, but real financial support. There are a number of events coming up this coming week and into April that will do exactly that, do the outreach, got back to the basics, increased people's awareness of WBAI, increased the listener and subscriber base, and increased the listener support. We will continue to encourage, enable, support, and collectively work with all of these sectors because it is in our interest. It will build the widest possible audience. It will get our message of peace out to everybody, and that is what we intend to do. And finally, as I announced at the national board meeting of about a week ago, BAI and Pacifica face one of the greatest challenges ever in the foundation's 50-year history, and we face it on every front. We have this multi-million dollar debt. These extraordinary times call for groundbreaking efforts to save Pacifica as an institution, and the weight falls on the new executive director, Dan Coughlin, on the national office, on the national board, and on every staff member, producer, a friend, colleague, and listener to our five-station network. In early March, I met with the staff and also with committees and also with the lab, and I announced to them that I was stepping down as general manager in the next few months and will make a transition to the national office to deal with the tremendous challenges which face all of us at this moment. This will provide time for a strong and wide-ranging outreach effort, and we hope a responsible search process during the period. It's been more than an honor and more than a privilege to serve WBAI. I know that we must walk this tough and gritty road together. In fact, it's more than a road, it's a mountain that challenges us. I know that we will do this with great courage, great intelligence, great heart, because our future is in our own hands. And like that song, I call on WBAI to rise up to the greatness of our previous and precious past and our future legacy. And I call on Pacifica to rise up to preserve and protect our beloved institutions for now and forever. That is part of the report that I gave at the National Board meeting. I wanted to share that with you today. And we now have Leslie Kagan, who is the chair of the interim board in our studios, and we welcome her this afternoon.
Hi, sorry I'm a little late. The New York subway system was doing its usual thing. So I'm really happy that Valerie invited me to join you all today. Sorry I missed most of Valerie's comments. I got the tail end of it. I just want to say one or two quick things and then, you know, open it up for others and hopefully there'll be time for some calls today, maybe. But first and foremost, let me just thank Valerie for her tremendous leadership through this recent transition. There are always many transitions here at WBAI. Seems to be the name of the game here. But certainly through this most recent transition after the mid-January board meeting with the resolutions that were passed by the board to bring back the previously fired and banned and to get this station back on track, the track it had been diverted from for the 13 months leading up to that. So we appreciate Valerie very much for that work and for her many, many years of service to this station in particular. And we know that her service to and her work with Pacifica is far from over. There's a lot of work yet to get from this woman. So, again, we thank her for the past and for the future work. At the board level, on the national level, let me just say that it's been quite exhilarating, sometimes difficult, sometimes a little crazy-making, but also extremely exhilarating these last 3 months. And I want to remind people that it's really been actually a little bit less, just I guess a week less shy of 3 months, since the new interim national board was put into place as a direct consequence of the settlement of the various lawsuits brought by listeners, members of local advisory boards around the country, and some of the dissident members of the old national board. Excuse me. And as I said, as a direct settlement, result of that settlement, an interim national board was put together, and that board had its first meeting on December 29th, 2001. So it's just shy of 3 months. In that period, and I know there remains a tremendous sense of urgency from especially listeners and producers, but everybody in the Pacifica family, a tremendous sense of urgency here in New York and around the country that we move quickly to reinvigorate the network, to deal with the problems that we inherited from the past, and to begin the rebuilding process. What I'm happy to report is that much work has happened in 3 months, work that only really lays the foundation for the next period. We haven't solved all the problems by any means. We certainly have not dealt yet with the tremendous burden of a debt that we inherited, which was nearing, topping out at about $5 million. Significant steps have been made to chip away at that, including the tremendous fundraising effort here in New York and at actually all five of the Pacifica stations. But, you know, there's sort of millions and millions of dollars of money that must be raised to deal with this debt. And other changes happen. Changes in management throughout the network. Not only in the at the national level, in the national office, we have a new acting executive director, Dan Coughlin, and other people on the national staff, including Verna Avery Brown, who used to anchor the Pacifica National News. She is now the assistant to the executive director, also on an interim basis. Also on the national level, unfortunately, because of the very serious financial problems, we had to take a hard look at where we could cut back. Not only do we have to generate more income, but we had to cut back. So several things have happened. All of the managers at stations and people in the national office and other folks around the network also took pay cuts. Voluntarily, you know, we asked them, obviously, but we didn't force that on people, and people, you know, did, I'm sure not happily, but voluntarily took pay cuts, and that was, again, tremendously appreciated, not only by the board, but I think by the listeners around the country as well. We also had to make a very difficult decision, but we did decide to cut, actually, to eliminate the whole Pacifica National News. We felt that that was a tremendous expense at a cost of over $1 million a year, and that it was not justified given the, you know, carrying that show and keeping that on the air was not justified in light of this tremendous financial burden we had. We are happy to report that throughout the network, the five stations are finding other news sources, and that the news does go on the air every day, not only here at WBAI, at the other four stations as well. Hopefully, you know, at some point down the road, and I don't know if it's going to be a year or 2 years or 3 years, but some point down the road, hopefully we will be in strong enough financial shape to rebuild the national news program. those kinds of changes, several station managers have been replaced. There's a new station manager in Texas, a permanent manager there, and interim managers were put into place in several other stations, and processes are beginning now to do the search and the hire for permanent managers. Probably one of the most important things, I mean, everything is important, so I don't want to set a hierarchy, but another set of important things is that the national board, the interim national board, which, again, out of the settlements and lawsuits was mandated to ensure, to put together guidelines for the listener elections of the local advisory boards and to put together the structure for that to happen and to make sure those elections happen, and also mandated to review, set up a process to review and revise the bylaws, the whole governance structure of the organization. I'm happy to report at the last national board meeting in Los Angeles a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, the process to do both of those began, and that was a board decision based on a lot of feedback from listeners and lab members around the country and a lot of discussion at the meeting itself, set up process with a national committee and committees in each of the five listening areas that will include lab members, members from the national board in those listening areas, as well as listeners and activists from the listening community to begin that thorough examination of the bylaws, of governance, of the lab election procedures, and through a back and forth of local discussions and national discussions, we hope over the next several months, and certainly no more than 6 months down the road, to be able to say, here's a finished product. But it will not be because a little more than 14 people on a national board sat in a corner and hammered it out. It will be because a process has been set up and initiated and is underway that includes the national board. It includes local advisory boards. It includes people at the stations, managers, producers, paid staff, non-paid staff, and the listening community. And out of that community-wide conversation, we hope to come. We will come to a new set of bylaws, a new set of governance structures, and a new process whereby labs, the local advisory boards, are elected. Those are just a few of the highlights of some of the work that's been going on. We clearly have a tremendous amount more to do in terms of the financial burden that we have, but also I think for many of us on the national board and at the stations around the country, certainly here in New York too, see this as a real opportunity. Certainly a challenge to meet the problems that we inherited, head on, but also a opportunity that we don't always have to look at how we meet and express the current understanding of the mission of Pacifica. Pacifica has been built, the five stations have been built around a mission that was written over 50 years ago and still resonates. It still rings true in the world we live in. But the world we live in is different than it was 53 years ago. So how do we make that mission come alive every day in our governance, in our structures, how we run these stations, but also in the programming? And that's a creative challenge to everybody involved in the stations, listeners, producers, paid staff, non-paid programmers, everybody must be tapped into to think again about how this station here in New York and the other four stations around the country really serve the communities, really reflect the communities that we come from and feed back to those communities and best serve not just an abstract mission or a bunch of words on a piece of paper, but how do we serve the communities and especially how do we serve the social change, the progressive social change agenda that the mission so clearly articulates. And there's not a formula for doing that. There's not one answer for how to do that. That's an ongoing process. And what is very exciting is that we are really just at the first stages of opening up that process, including you all, to help us move into this new period in the life of this station and the Pacifica Network. So that's a kind of quick overview for folks.
We're also here with Bernard White, the program director here at WBAI. Again, Leslie Kagan, who you've just heard speak. She is the chair of the Interim National Board. Matthew Finch is in our studios, as well as Michael Huskins at the controls. Bernard.
Well, first of all, hello, everyone, and I'm glad that folks are tuned in to this report to the listener. I wanted to just start out by saying that this is happening 2 days before the anniversary of the previous program director's departure from here. He died on March 23rd of 1999, someone who we all had a lot of respect for. And we just think about him a lot, and as well as his family, during this period. In the program director's position, we inherited, a schedule that had become, because of the events of the last 13 months, a schedule that had become a departure from logic and a departure from coherency. There had been a lot of people who had been taken off, and the schedule had been shifted a bit, and new people had been added on. And in facing that, we had to come up with some process of making the schedule coherent again, a process which now includes, as a result of the settlement, a greater degree of listener input. we have a program council here that helps us to devise the regular schedule. And the program council has met twice. It'll meet again next Thursday. And what we are trying to do with the program council is to get a full complement of people on the council so it can begin to do its business. But we've suffered as a result of some major dislocations, a very confused schedule. Now we're trying to set about the business of putting it back together again. There are a lot of questions that people have been asking about the schedule. Some of the folks who had programs who were not here because they were taken out as a result of 9/11. 9/11 seems to be a date that has affected just about everything. And that's the music programs. The music programs were taken out and new programs were put in during the 10 to 12 slot. And the music is going to return. We've been thinking about putting it in another place. And one of the reasons why we're thinking about doing that is because when we looked at all of the measuring tools, both the Arbitron ratings or the audiographics as well as our fundraising efforts, we noticed that there was a precipitous decrease in people listening to WBAI during that time. We didn't do well in terms of fundraising, and the Arbitron, as I said, showed that folks left WBAI and went to places where they could continue to get information. And so we want to take that into consideration as we begin to fashion what our next steps are going to be before the 10 to 12, during the 10 to 12 slot. What we do best at WBAI is to provide information in a creative and passionate way. I know that there has been the other world that we live in now is in cyberspace, and there's been some reports going around or requests going around or proposal going around asking that there be classical music during that 10 to 12 slot, and I have gotten some phone calls regarding that because of in WNYC removing classical music from their afternoon slot. Well, I called Michael Excelsa, who is the program director at WNYC, who gave me an explanation that kind of dovetailed in with the facts of radio at this moment in history, as well as with our experience here at WBAI, as well as the experience of public radio and community radio across the country. And that is that when they play classical music during that period, they don't get the kind of response because there are other radio stations in their town that focus on that. Here in New York City is WQXR. People who listen to a lot of classical music have a strong relationship to WQXR. And here at WBAI, I don't think that we have or should compete for that audience where there is an audience that we can develop our own passionate listenership from by providing them with information. We've noticed that when we have put information on the air, just over the past couple of weeks, we played a tape by Tim Weiss. We played something by Michael Parenti yesterday. We played something by Helen Caldicott earlier in the week, and we've gotten tremendous response from people calling up wanting to get copies of that information. So it shows that there is an audience that's out there that is willing to stay with us up until the noon hour. We have an anomaly in our schedule, an anomaly in meeting with the program directors from around the country a couple of months before the coup, and looking at their program schedules. Most of them did not do well at 12 noon. We have an anomaly in that we have a program that does very well, that has a very large listenership at noon. What we're going to try and do is to maintain the large listenership from the morning, from the Democracy Now! Through the 10 to 12 up into the noon spot when Gary Noel comes on the air. We have used wake-up call as an incubator for some programs, and there will be some programs that will be branching out on their own, as well as some additional ideas that we can begin to put in place. You might have heard on Saturday there's a program, but by the way, all of these programs that we're putting in place right now are there not on a permanent basis, but they're there on a so we can get a reading of just how well they're responded to by the listeners. But we have a pretty good idea that they will get a good response based on what how our listeners listen to radio. There's a prison program that comes on Saturday called On the Count with Eddie Ellis and a gentleman named Jazz. Well, these individuals have been a part of the prison system for many years. Eddie Ellis, who was set up by the counterintelligence program, was in prison almost as long as Nelson Mandela. He was in prison for 23 years. He did great work inside the prison. Once he got outside of the prison, he continued to do great work. He's done a premier study on the prison population, where people come from, how they get into prison. And the goal of that prison program is to make a difference in prison. Because of the connections, they have gotten to the point where all of the prisons in our listening area are going to have that program on the air when it comes on. So we have a direct contact with people inside the prison, and I'm sure that the relationship will be reciprocal, because letters have already begun to come in from the prison saying how much they appreciate that program. I've been talking to Teokasin, who's a Native American brother who is in contact with Native American groups all over the country to try and get them to come in. He and some of the folks in his group to come in and do some programs. I think that we can use at least another Native American program. It is their country anyway. And they can talk, they will be talking about hooking up with a lot of the struggles of Native Americans around the country. Their story still has not been told and still is not being told, and we're going to try and help them to tell that story. I've gotten a lot of questions about Earl Caldwell, because he had three different programs on WBAI at two different times. Two of them were from 10 to 12, and one is in the spot that we're in right now, and people have been wondering whether or not he's going to be with the radio station. I think Earl Caldwell does a good program. I've told him that. We've had a conversation, and he will be here with us. There have also been a lot of questions raised about whether Gary Noel is going to be here. I don't know where those questions have come from. That is not anything that his departure is not anything that we've discussed here. As far as I know, as long as he wants to be here, he'll be here. I imagine that we will have some discussion in the near future to find out whether there is some kind of problem. But there's no problem here with us at the radio station in terms of Gary Noel being here. As Leslie said, there is no formula. There is no blueprint. There is no plan that we have at the radio station for success. It comes out of the work that we do. It's an evolutionary process. There will be some errors that we will make, and as we move forward, we're trying to minimize the errors by taking our time and logically approaching what it is that we're doing. There are some obvious trends in radio. There are some things that we have tried in the past that have not been successful, and there are some things that we've tried that have been very successful. We want to try and maximize our success by using the tools that are available within reason, by remembering what our successes for are or were, and then begin to move forward. So that's about it. It's been, as you can imagine, it's been difficult coming back, in the sense that there are new demands. There are at least 50 to 60 new program directors who came back with me, who know exactly what the formula is, and I have to wade through all of that. But I recognize that it comes out of concern. It comes out of a desire to try and make this radio station a good listen-to radio station, something that we all can be proud of. So I don't, I listen. And, of course, what is said by people influences what we do. And, of course, it may not look like it's coming directly out of any suggestion you might have made, but certainly what you say does influence the direction and the selections that we make trying to make this radio station, bring it back to where it was, and then to go further. I happen to believe that we are at a very important moment in history where we can begin to fashion a radio station that can be used as a model for other community radio stations, and bring about some real change in media. We have an opportunity to also begin to explain to people what media is about in a profound way, not in a superficial way, because of what we've gone through. There are a lot of people who are looking at us and paying close attention to what it is that we do. So what we do has an impact. What we do resonates across the nation. I think that those of you who were actively involved in this struggle, who traveled with us to all of the 5 radio stations around the country, you know that WBAI is considered by many to be an extremely important media institution, and we have to maintain that. We have to maintain that notion of our importance. We have to continue to challenge power. We have to continue to do good programming. Our programming has won more community awards than any other community radio station, and we're going to continue to do that. Awards is just a representation of the excellence that exists here, and we're going to try and continue with that excellence. So continue to make your suggestions. As I said, they are considered and when we do make the changes that we make. Also, there's one other program that is starting too, and that is Dr. Kamau Kakai, who is a naturalist, a doctor who is been in the community, in the Brooklyn community, for many years, who is into Chinese medicine and has traveled around Africa and various other places looking at other healing modalities. And he's interested in bringing in people from around the community, from all around the various ethnic groups, to talk to them about their healing modalities. And what this will probably wind up being is like an early warning system for our various communities as we begin to see people come in with various diseases. For instance, we talked a lot about the air around Ground Zero, and we find that there are many doctors who have patients that are coming in who are all saying the same thing, all suffering from the same thing, but there's no place that they can come and tell their collective stories, and we're going to try and provide that kind of thing here at WBAI. So, as I said, just continue to make your suggestions, even if we appear to be annoyed sometimes. Just keep them coming in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bernard. And our sympathies go out to you and to your family about the very recent loss. in your family that you found out about and we found out about last night. Please pass on our deepest condolences to everyone. One of the things that has come to the fore is, again, around the mission. And what does the mission mean 50 years now? 53 years, in fact, is the anniversary. So a Pacifica Mission Commission has been formed. And Leslie, I think you know quite a bit about that. It's come under Dan and Verna, an initiative set up by them. Could you tell our audience about that? Because there are ways to participate. There are ways to reinvigorate and revitalize what we all do here and the principles that we believe in.
Yes, thank you for reminding me about that. I should have included it in my opening comments before, but as I said, there's a lot going on all around this network. The Mission Commission is a new idea, and actually it's still very much a work in progress. It's not even totally formed. The idea is to invite people who are close to our stations, close to our mission through the other work that they do, but have not been intimately involved in the day-to-day work at the radio stations, nor intimately involved necessarily in the day-to-day struggle over the last several years to reclaim Pacifica, to bring to bear in this process another grouping of people with hopefully a fresh set of eyes and ears and insights to look at some of the big questions. So what's happening is that a national grouping is being put together that is going to be or is being coordinated by Robbie Osman, a longtime programmer out of KPFA in Berkeley, someone who I think has had a show out there for 23 years, something like that, at one point actually served on the national board. I believe it was in the late 70s or in the 80s. I don't remember exactly
before
whether.
Before our time.
Yeah, a long, long time ago. So he has a long history both with KPFA but also with the National Foundation. And at the same time as a national group is being put together, groups in the various cities are being put together or will be put together shortly, again, to draw on the experience of people who come out of progressive social change movements, people whose work is not necessarily in radio or even in the media, but who share the kind of mission that Pacifica has, which is why it's called the Mission Commission, to look at questions like, given the programming that's now on the air, right, is that matching, is it meeting the needs of the mission in today's world? What does that mean about the relationship between the station and the communities in the listening area? As we all know, in New York, there are many communities. It's not like one community. There are many, many, many communities. Does that mean that every single separate community has its own show? No, not necessarily. There aren't enough hours in the day. But how do you speak to the needs and the realities and the experience and the lives of people in those diverse communities? So this commission will not be a decision-making body. All it will do is ask some questions, talk to people, kick around some ideas, and come up hopefully with, as I said before, some new insights, and out of that maybe some recommendations for the foundation as a whole and for each specific station. So we are optimistic. I know it's been a little confusing. People have heard a mission commission. What's it all about? Who's in charge? What are they doing?
It sounds like a Gilbert and Sullivan race a little bit.
Well, maybe it is. But the idea is to bring in another layer of people to help us think, to help us all think in new ways about where we're going with this incredible resource, this incredible treasure that we have here in New York at WBAI, but also nationally in terms of the five stations.
As we move on, this is WBAI, by the way, at 99.5 FM, and this is the March report to the listener. There will be an April report, a May report, June, and from, of course, now on a regular basis. And we are also introducing here at the station a report by the local advisory board. As we do the run-up to the elections coming up in September, they must be completed by December, we are going to devote airtime here so that they can be in contact, discuss their concerns, their projects, the membership outreach work, which they have done an outstanding job of initiating and are now pushing through, and follow that process right straight through, because we intend to meet these guidelines and deadlines. Our lives depend on it, and so we're going to do it. Bernard, any other thoughts? Because we are maybe want to go to phone calls now, or Matthew, or Michael is also here with us in the studio.
I'd like to go to Matthew now.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It was very interesting, actually, hearing Bernard talk about this particular date, March 23 of 99. I was asked by Samori Marksman on that last weekend for him. He wanted to stay home with his family. And there was a National Federation of Community Broadcasters meeting, and he asked me, I was going to attend it anyway, but he asked me to go to some of the heavier forums that the PDs would go to, the places that Bernard will be going to next month when we go. There was a rather startling series of observations that were made by our friends, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that was quite frightening. And they talked about community radio in the light of micro radio, which they said, CPB said, micro radio will speak to regional communities. That will be the nexus of neighborhood. Internet radio will speak to communities of interest and ethnic communities worldwide. Public radio, they have the money and they have the antiseptic style to make people feel like they're living in a non-commercial environment, even though they're not really. What the hell do you think you're doing in community radio, and where are you going to go, and will you be relevant? I had a chance to speak to I believe he was a program director of a station, community station, WWOZ.
Mm-hmm. David Friedman.
Yeah, in the Crescent City, a music station. And he did a presentation. He went up to the people from CPB, and they were using slide projection. And he said, gentlemen, could I borrow your slides, please? I'll give them back tomorrow afternoon. And he set up the slide projection and went point by point and showed how their very assumptions about what community radio was based on something that community radio wasn't, or at least wasn't meant to be. And he told some amazing stories, and he began to outline, a direction for community radio that would, in fact, include in an organization like NFCB, college radio stations. Because we all know when we go to these meetings, it is not the rainbow that we live in. These are very good, well-meaning community stations, but it is not quite the rainbow that one expects working in New York when you go to community radio elsewhere. He seemed to say that the rainbow is, in fact, the thing that non-commercial radio can do, that commercial radio cannot do. And he told stories about a smooth jazz station in New Orleans that was opened, I believe it was under Clear Channel, one of the large organizations, and people said, you know, you jazz people down there in New Orleans, you better watch out. These people are going to get you. They built this smooth jazz station. They built a pretty solid following pretty quickly, pretty much split down the middle. And New Orleans is not as multi-ethnic as you might think. Pretty much split down the middle between African Americans, European Americans, right down the middle. This guy Friedman said, now that's the audience that we are. That's the audience that I want. That is not an audience that survives commercial radio. And, of course, it didn't. They had great numbers, but they didn't know how to sell to white people and black people at the same time. So it was the need to sell that destroyed that station. It became a classic rock station within 6 months. The lesson of this that I brought back was that the path that we have been on, and we don't want to just leave it in the name of a PD who is gone now, but in the name of many people who have come before and are here now, that the path we are on is actually something that can be codified at this point, because the rules that people like CPB and the rules that people like these consultants who go from station to station to station making everyone sound alike, they did it in commercial radio. They've done it in public radio. And I still believe that they were a very strong force going back to 99 and going back to 2000 in getting Pacifica's ear, partly because many of the people in charge of Pacifica weren't radio people. Mm-hmm. What has to happen now, I feel, is that we have to be able as a system, whether it's just Pacifica or community radio, we have to be able to come up with a series of rationales and arguments that are as powerful as what a consultant would say when it comes to community radio. Because what a consultant would say is, you can be an all-talk station or you can be an all-music station, but you can't be both. You cannot speak to rainbow communities and expect people of community X to stick around to learn about community Y. But in fact, that's what we're... That's part of our mission.
That's part of the Pacifica mission. That is, it expressly states that.
So this is where this becomes very, very important, and where a new era, Valerie, as you've said, can be a bright era, because we see that there is a huge lane open in which we can run. And I think Bernard was talking about the dozens and dozens and dozens of people who have his sleeve and are saying, can we, you know, who are looking for time and putting forward their ideas. Part of this is happening because everywhere else in media has become so narrow that conceivably anything we do could be community radio. Now, obviously, that would drive everyone crazy, but we have to find a way to navigate between those aspects of the work that we do that is going to reach people and matter to people and be not just unusual, but be crucial to folks' lives, right, in many, many different ways. The other thing that we do have to do, and every PD, every GM that I've ever heard of going way, way back and that will ever come here has all agreed about this, and that is that we have to do what we do better. We have to do it with more energy. And we have to find ways to use the 57 minutes that we have during an hour to put a lot more into that 57 minutes, because that's what the audience wants also. I believe anyway that they love us, you know, but I don't think that that's what they're here for. They're not here to have a love affair with any radio personality. They're here to have their reality mirrored and to get the information they need to get out of the house. And in some cases, to get out of themselves, to hear about other places in the world, to hear about other lives through music, through stories, and through news and through history. It is a very daunting task, I think, for one little radio station to do it. But I guess we have no choice.
We have no choice, and our future depends on it, and we are up to the task, and we shall prevail. There's no question about it. Otherwise, Pacifica... and that vision of Blue Hill in 1946, when we were first incorporated, would not have lasted until this year, 2002. There is a tremendously powerful value here. That's why this fight for the heart and soul of the network that has gone on, especially last year, but for years before, was so determined, so profound, and it was so important that it be won in the face of a clear channel. And under FCC rules, they can now own 1,000 radio stations, you know, and all the television stations in a market. Well, where is that voice for the community? I believe it is only found in community radio, and especially at a place like WBAI.
But we can also, we can sound as good as they do. That doesn't mean we sound commercial.
We should sound better than they do.
Yes, I agree completely.
Better.
We can, and it's not that vast an adjustment. It just, I think, is a matter of putting priorities together and coming to agreement on a few things. The last thing I would want to say is, given you know, the experience of those of you who were isolated from the station and put on the outside, locked out, and those of us who were inside of the station through those 13 months, is we can never allow war to be such a tenable option. And I think this is not something to go through the airwaves, I firmly believe, but people have to be able to look at how did this develop in the way it developed. And I think one of the things that made it happen was a certain instability in our own shop. My hope, again, is that in very short order, we will have the LAB elections, we will have the program council elections, we will have worked out all of the union questions that are still flying, especially when it comes to organizing the unpaid staff here, and that we will have people legitimately put into every single position here so that we can finally sort of exhale, frankly, and begin this process and see where it can go.
Very good. We have to take a station break here. This is WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York. We're going to take a short musical break, and then it's the will of this group, I believe, that we go to listener phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break, Michael. Thank you.